you would be turning in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to do a PowerPoint today because I told Chris we're going to be leaving. We won't be very long because we'll have to make our march down to the river and have our baptismal service. But I wanted us to think about a biblical basis for baptism this morning. A biblical basis for baptism. Baptism can be a very confusing thing to a lot of people. If we did a survey to everybody that's in this room, you would be surprised at the different answers on what they thought baptism means, what it is, what it isn't, who does it, who doesn't supposed to do it, these kind of things. And so I want us to kind of clarify some of that today so that we can leave here and when we go out to the river in the culmination of this great service, that you know what's going on and what's not going on. So it's very important that we think about that. The church has two ordinances. The first, every fifth Sunday, which they're the same, for every fifth Sunday we have the Lord's Supper. What's that? We do that in remembrance. We take the cup, we take the bread, and we do it in remembrance of Him, His sacrifice for us. That's the first ordinance. The second one is baptism. Baptism is that we as Baptists, this is a Baptist church. You say, why do we have that name Baptist? Well, that's a good question. We have it because of what we believe in and what baptism is. Baptism, the word baptism is actually baptismo, which means immersion. And that's why we're so staunch on full immersion, that we immerse people completely in the water. We bring them up as a significance because it shows the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'll talk more about that. It's a public testimony of what's happening. And so we have these two ordinances, the Lord's Supper, the baptism. And so if you think about, there's elements, physical elements in both of them. We have the cup, we have the bread, but we also have the water. The water is part of it. When we step down, we have a baptismal pool, whether you're in the pool or we're going down to the river. The water represents that death that you're showing, hey, I have died to myself and I'm raised anew with Christ. And we'll see where that comes from and why we do that. And so I want us to think about that. It's this inward expression. This is something that's already happened in our heart, and we're outwardly showing the world. It's a public testimony of something that has happened in your life, and that has Christ has come to dwell within your heart. And so keep that in mind as we go down to the river. But most people know little about baptism. In fact, they think that you have to be baptized to be saved. There's a group of people believe that. Listen, baptism is not part of your salvation. It doesn't make you more saved. It doesn't complete your salvation. Baptism is, again, that public testimony on what has already happened in your heart. And so I want us to get that straight and keep that straight in our mind. And so it causes this confusion, and so I want us to kind of work that out today before we go and participate in this. We know that God gave us this, and Jesus gives this great commission right before He ascends and goes back to heaven. After His resurrection, He meets with His disciples, and what does He do? He gives the great commission of Matthew 28. He says, go ye therefore. And what do? We're to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So that we know that part of our commission is going and making disciples and baptizing people. So it's a part of our commission. We also know in Matthew chapter 3 that Jesus was baptized. And it's very easy to say, well, what's up with that? Jesus, why did He have to be baptized? And it's a good question. If you remember when He came to the Jordan, John the Baptist is already baptizing in repentance or remission of sins. And then Jesus shows up and what does John say? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And He tells him, He said, I don't need to baptize you, but you need to baptize me. And John understood the magnitude of that. So why was Jesus baptized? Identification. He identified with us, He came to identify with those He came to save. It was a point of identification with Him. Not only that, but it was this idea of consecration unto, you know what? It's going to show exactly the path that He walked to come and save each and every one of us. If you are a child of God this morning, it's a picture of what Christ did for you. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. If you don't have that, you can have that today, by the way. Just because we're having a baptismal service don't mean that Christ can't do a work in your own heart. Don't miss out on the greatest thing that will ever happen to a man, woman, boy, or girl. And that's coming to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He can get you through a lot of storms in life. This old world's getting pretty stormy, isn't it? Don't take long, we turn on the news and we see the turmoil of our world. Guess what the answer to that is, my friend? It's not education, okay? We're the most educated people of all time. How's that working for us? It's through a relationship. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that can change your world and my world and make it better into what God has called it to be. That's the problem. And here's the deal. He's called you to take that gospel out in this world. Who's dropping the ball? We're the ones that need to take it out into a lost world. But in John chapter 3 and 22, Jesus' disciples were baptized. And if you remember, there arose a dispute about, well, Jesus' disciples were baptizing more than John the Baptist, and they were asking that. So we see that the disciples, these followers of Christ, were baptizing. It's a part. I'm going to show you as we get to Scripture about, it's a part of the local church. I've had people come to me and ask me to baptize them. But I say, do you realize when I baptize you, I'm not just baptizing you, yes, your public testimony that you're a child of Christ, but I'm baptizing you into the local church. It's part of it. We'll see that. That's a biblical thing, by the way, and we'll see that in our Scripture today. We don't just baptize the baptized, but you're being baptized representing Christ, but you're also baptized into the local church, into the bride of Christ as part of this process that we do that we call baptism. And so I want us to look at these Scripture today. Let's look at our Scripture for the biblical basis of baptism. Look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, 36 through 39 is what we'll be looking at. And first, I want us to see the first biblical basis for baptism is a confession of faith in Christ. Now let me give you just a little context of Acts chapter 2 that we should all know. We know that back to Matthew 28, when Jesus ascended, He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait on the promise, the helper. He kept saying that there's going to be one likened to myself, this Paracletus, that would come alongside, that would help them be this helper. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait on that. Well, it's Pentecost. And they're there in the upper room, and guess what? The promise, and He keeps His promises, by the way. His promises in this Word are good forever. You can stand upon them. He came. The Holy Spirit came. It's Pentecost. And the Spirit drops upon these disciples, and what happens? They go out, man, and they're preaching the gospel. In fact, it said that all the people from different languages that were there from Pentecost was hearing the gospel in their own language. They were hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, this miraculous thing when the Holy Spirit came. It came and that the gospel could go forth into all the world. And who steps up? Old Peter, that one that had tired not too long ago, that had denied his Christ. He's full of the Holy Spirit and he steps up and he's preaching. And who's he preaching to? The very ones that had crucified Christ. Where was the coward now? He's full of the Holy Spirit of God. And he preaches and he breaks down when we get to 2. I mean, he just breaks it down for them. And you know what he gets them done? He says, you killed him. You crucified your Messiah. And that's where we pick up and that's where we're at 36 and through 39. And so I want us to think about, listen to what it says in verses 37 and 38. First, the first basis for biblical baptism is a confession of faith in Christ. Now, when they heard this message that we just talked about, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know, Peter's conclusion to this main body of his sermon, his followers, what happened? The same thing that happened to you and me if we received Christ. We're convicted of our sin through the preaching of God's Word. The Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of it. I don't know about you, but I had went to church, and you've heard my testimony. I didn't want to go back to church because it's full of hypocrites, okay? It's full of people I was partying with through the week, and they were acting like they were better than me on Sunday. I said, I don't need that. I don't need that. But I went. I had a friend that kept going to help, want me to go back, want me to go back, want me to go back. And I finally said, I'm going. Just get him off my back. The Holy Spirit of God, something happened that night. Listen, I'm so glad. The only reason I'm standing like Lisa, the only reason I'm standing before you is because of that night. The Holy Spirit of God revealed that the thing that I had been searching for all 28 years of my life was this Jesus that I had been rejecting in the church every time that I would come. And He opened my heart. And it's like, you know what? Everything changed. Everything changed. The Holy Spirit of God makes a difference. And so when they heard this, why? This preaching of the power of God that had fell down through the Holy Spirit on Peter, these men that had been scared and had rejected Christ, and the Spirit had changed them, but the message had changed too. The power of God, that's the thing that transforms life, by the way, is the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we need, by the way, in our churches, is a Spirit-filled pulpit and pews full of the Spirit of God. It'll make a difference in your life and your communities. And we see that right here when they heard this. What did it say? They were cut to the heart. Do I need to describe that for anybody? Because if I need to describe it, it's never happened to you. When the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, drives that knife into your heart and you realize, man, they realized they had killed their Messiah. He was right. What He had been preaching to them. They were pierced. They were stabbed. It was conviction of sin. And listen what their question was. What shall we do? That's when you see God working in somebody's life. What shall we do? But you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to make it right. The Holy Spirit revealed there and through the power of that preaching, and it brought them to the point of desperation. Listen what Peter's answer was. Please don't miss this. This is a part of every salvation that takes place. It's called what? Repent. Repentance. If repentance is not preached, the Bible's not being preached, okay? There has to be a place that you come to realize that it was you that crucified the Lord, your sin, that placed Him on that cross. It has to come that you have to get to that point where you realize, I need this Savior. Not everybody else, not the world around you, but individually, I need a Savior, and I must repent of my sin. For the wages of sin is death, and it says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we have to take that personally. And He said, repent. Speaks of a change of purpose in their life. A turning from the sin. And it's an essential component to genuine salvation. I want you to grasp, please, we can't really grasp the magnitude of what Peter's telling them. The change that they'd have to make in their life. This was Jews in Jerusalem, mostly. This was people, Israelites. These were the Jews that had went through the traditions, that had walked the same way, had done church the same way. This is what it meant to them. And Peter, you know what he's saying? He's saying, you killed your Messiah. You need to repent and change. And it meant it would cost them everything. Cost them everything. Why? They were turning to Christ and turning away from the traditions and their heritage of the past. It was very difficult. Peter wasn't making this an easy, feel-good message, okay? It came with a cost. It should come with a cost to each and every one of us here this morning also. If you can just be saved and nothing changed, I question that you ever were. Because when Christ comes in, He changes a man and a woman. He makes them different. A boy and a girl. He changes them. And so this repentance is, Peter calls for them to turn back and from everything they knew and embrace Christ. And then he makes this statement and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter's not allowing, you know what he's not allowing for? He's not allowing for any secret disciples. Baptism would mark a public break from Judaism and it'd be an identification with Christ. Jesus Christ. This would be, it wouldn't be, look, I can holler, yeah, I love Jesus, but they're waiting, you know, nobody has to know it. You see, when he said be baptized in His name, that means they were stepping up to the plate and they were going to be identified with this new group that was called the church. And everything would change for them. And so it took a lot of guts, but he said be baptized in the name. And then he makes a step for the remission of sin and for the forgiveness of the sin. Is he talking about the baptism? No! He's talking about that's what's taking place through their conviction when he tells them to repent. And he's saying when you're baptized, you're identifying with Christ saying, you know what? I'm no longer walking in the old way, but I'm walking in the new. I'm raised again to walk in the newness of life. And when you see the baptism today, understand the magnitude of what you're seeing. You're seeing a group of people that have received Christ as their Savior, and they're willing to say to the whole world, I'm identified with Christ now. I'm not identified with the world or my old self. I'm identifying with Christ. And you know what? That comes with a cost. And that comes with living for Christ. Great opportunity for us to see. Baptism was to follow the confession of Jesus Christ. Baptism did not complete the fact, but it verified the fact that they had received Christ. This is not a new crowd. This is the very crowd that had crucified Christ. And it had produced this great sense of shame and guilt in them. And Peter had used that through the Holy Spirit to win them to greet Jesus Christ. He told them to repent and turn to Him. And then to be baptized in His name. To not have any secret disciples, but it'd be a crucial identification. A crucial identification would be that I am a follower of Jesus now. I am marked by His name. I will be the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church of Christ. I will represent Him. And then He says, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. When you repent and you ask God, Christ, to forgive you of your sin, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us at that moment. You don't have to seek for another filling. You could be filled with the Spirit, whereas in excess, but it's not like you're looking for this next moment. You receive everything that you need at conversion. And when you're baptized, you're letting people know, this has happened to me. This is my public testimony of what has gone on in my heart. It's a great mark. It's confession in faith in Jesus Christ. But also, I want you to see, secondly, it's communion with Christ. Look at verse 39 and what it says. It says, for the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off and as many as the Lord our God will call. We have this communion. Baptism is a confession and we're making it public, but we have this communion with Christ. You say, what are you talking about? Romans 6:3 says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? We have this communion with Him. This common ground, this common focus, and we'll see that that's a commission here in just a minute. Baptism is a pivotal moment in salvation because it's showing that I am following in obedience, following Christ, and I am communing with Him in His walk, in His purpose, and what He has for me. And it symbolizes this communion with Him. And you're saying, I have died with Christ, and I'm raised with Him in this brand new life. I am united with Jesus, interwoven. You know what God sees you, He sees Christ. Get a hold of that, child of God. When He sees you, He sees Christ. Why? Because you're in communion with Him through salvation. And through the public testimony of saying, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, interwoven with Him. It's an expression. You know what we're saying? I am one with Christ. It's a soldier's oath. All of you that served in the military know what I'm talking about. You make an oath upon entering the service that, hey, and it's your commanding officer, Jesus Christ. It's your loyalty unto Him. And because of this communion with Christ, we have a commission with Christ. What does it say? Peter said, hey, it's not just for you, but for the promise is to you and to your children. And to all who are afar off. You say, what is he talking about? He said, hey, it's not just for this group. It's for everybody. The Scripture says that Jesus wishes that none should perish, but what? That all should come into repentance. He's given us a commission to say, go ye therefore. Who? Each and every one of us. We have a communion with Him, but we have a commission from Him. What? To take this marvelous news, this thing that has happened to us, hopefully, and take it out to a world that desperately needs you to shine His light. It's a commission with Christ. You're on commission now. Your purpose changes. It's not survival of the fittest. It's not just trying to make it through. It's having a higher purpose than that, than just the here and now, but the eternity looms in the balance for boys and girls and men and women that are around you, that you carry the key to unlock the treasure of God, the gospel. For the promise is to you. And Christ came to do what? Seek and save that which is lost. And He's commissioned us to do the same. We have communion with Him. We are baptizing the communion with Christ in the context also of the local church. I want you to look what it says in verse 41. It says, then those who gladly received His word, in other words, they repented, they followed in obedience, they received Christ. What does it say? Were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Added to what? Just the group? Well, Dave, that's a good question. Go down to 47, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to what? What does that say? To the church daily, those who were being saved. They were not just baptized to say, hey, I'm a follower of Christ, I represent Him, but I'm baptized also into His bride, into the local church, into a body of believers, the ecclesia, the called out ones, that which God has brought together for us to go out and represent Him. This is our time together. This is why it's so important. We're His bride. We're His people. And when we go out, when we're getting ready to go down to the river, we're getting ready to see that somebody else is saying, I'm part of the family. I'm part of the family. I'm part of the family of Christ, but I'm part of the family of the local church at Southport Baptist Church. That's what biblical baptism is. It's not a ritual. It's not a routine. Listen, it's been going on for 2,000 years. And it will go on until Christ comes back. Or we go on to go home with Him. It'll keep on going. Why? Because it's an ordinance that He's given us. I'm going to pray. And we're going to march down to the river. And we're going to baptize four precious souls. I want you to think about what's going on, though. Think about what you're visualizing. Think about what you're seeing. Augustine said about baptism, it's the visible words of God. Let that soak in, the visible words of God. Let's pray, and we'll make our trek down to the river. Father, thank You so much. So thankful that You didn't leave us scratching our head or wondering why we do what we do, but You gave us Your word. So thankful that You didn't leave us comfortless, but You gave us Your Holy Spirit. And God, today we get to go down, march down to the New River, and see the public testimony of four believers that says, you know what, I'm recognized with Christ now, and I'm going to be a part of His body through Jesus Christ, and not only through that, but through the local church at Southport Baptist Church. So, Father, I want You to be magnified through this, glorified. It's not about the people that's doing it. It's not about the ones that's doing it. It's about the Savior that done it. And so I pray, let Him be glorified, let Him be magnified, and most of all, if somebody here doesn't know that salvation in Jesus Christ, if they're wondering, if they're scratching their head, not for sure, I pray, God, help them to find us out, find me out. God, there's nothing better than I would like to take the time and show them how they can be saved and know for sure. The Bible said that they can know that you're saved. You don't have to question it. You don't have to ask it, but that you may know that you're saved and you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Lord, if there's somebody here who's never been baptized, I pray that they'll realize that's unbiblical. That God, that they'll see an act of obedience is our confession in Christ and also our communion with Him, and that we must follow Him in this act of obedience. So whatever You're doing, we're asking, Lord, that You do that work. And we thank You for the great privilege. Go with us as we go down the river now, in Christ's name.